Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Ordinary Council meeting for the month of July. Welcome to councillors, senior staff, and members of the public gallery. Item one is the statement by the chairperson, and I am required to read in accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulations 2025. The chairperson is to make a verbal statement at the beginning of the meeting to the effect that an audio recording is being made of this meeting. All persons attending this meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. I would also like to acknowledge the Palawapakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item three is apologies and requests for leave of absence, and Councillor De La Torre has requested leave of absence for this meeting, moved by Councillor Gaird and seconded by Councillor Murtagh. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item four is notification of leave of absence for parental leave. There are no requests for leave for parental leave. Item 5 is confirmation of minutes, and item 5.1 is confirmation of minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting, which was held on the 16th of June. Those have been included in our agenda. Is there any amendments, any discussion, any issues? If not, can I ask for someone to move that they be accepted? Moved by Councillor Curran and seconded by Councillor Whelan. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 6 is declaration of interest. Would anyone like to declare an interest in anything on the agenda this evening?
Yes,
Councillor Gaird.
17.5.
Thank you. That's noted. And I will also declare an interest in item 17.5 as well. And I'll hand over to the Deputy Mayor at that particular point on the agenda. Item 7 is public question time and deputations. Nikki, are you happy to come up the front? Yeah. We've got Nikki Kastner from Her Strength, Her Story, and she's just here to address us in regards to the Butterflies and Boots Gala Ball and provide an update of all the work they're doing in regards to family and domestic violence.
Okay.
So, Nikki, over to you.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for having me again. Apologies from Kira, who had to work late. She's got a new manager, which isn't being very nice to her, so otherwise she would have been here too. So we held our second Butterflies and Boots Nurturing Afternoon and Gala Ball the last Saturday of May, and it was another wonderful success. So once again, we had an afternoon where we pampered a number of ladies. So this year we had 24, last year we had about 16. And once again we had professional photographers, hairdressers, makeup artists and stuff, and provided gowns for them. So it was another beautiful, beautiful afternoon. And that was then followed by the Gala Ball, which once again had about 70 to 80 people, women, come along to it, which was really wonderful to have the second one be a success again. So this year we had a massive increase in the number of people who volunteered their time as well. We had 34 volunteers, and that included the DJ that we had last year, Alina Thomas, the CEO of Engender Equality, as our MC. Again, Martin Blackwell from Material Institute doing all the tech and lighting and all that stuff that we didn't want to deal with. And the wonderful Rima, our Zumba instructor, who was a big hit again. A difference that we did this year was so a lot of the women from the Nurturing Afternoon last year put their hand up to be ball buddies for the new ladies this year. So that was lovely. So a lot of those ladies came back again, which was really beautiful. As most of you know, since the first ball last year, we set ourselves up as Her Strength, Her Story. And we have, as one of our directors, one of the ladies that was nominated last year, Ondine. She's one of our directors. And we've got two women on our advisory committee who was also involved in the Nurturing Afternoon last year. So that's sort of continuing on. We had another wonderful response from organisations wanting to support us. Obviously, firstly, thank you to UGOS, which was wonderful, providing the Civic Centre again for us. We really appreciated that because it's just the perfect space. Everything can be done in that one building, and we utilised the library as well for childcare once again, so that worked really well. And thank you for the money towards catering. That was very much appreciated too. So we had support from you. We had Harvey Norman donating about $5,000 worth in prizes for us, which was amazing, to raise money prior to the ball. Federal Group provided 6 rooms at the Mont in Claremont, free of charge for women that were travelling from up north and from the coast so that they could attend the ball. We had Southern Automotive car place in Glenorchy. They gave us 10 $150 vouchers to give away. And then we had Pennycott Wilderness Tours, Bonnerong, thank you, again, thank you, voucher. Hobart City Mission once again provided the majority of the gowns for the women. And then the support from In Gender Equality and lots of state politicians. Again, we raised about $1,500 from donations from them. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say this, but sadly that did not include the Minister for Women. But anyway, we'll leave that. It was a wonderful night. We're planning to do it, keep going with it each year. The feedback that we had was really wonderful, and we really appreciate your support. What we've also been doing, so we have our what we call Surviving to Thriving Peer Connect groups. We have one established in South Hobart now that has funding from Hobart City Council, and that meets fortnightly, so they're for women who've been through domestic violence. They're peer-led. We've put together a whole sort of raft of risk mitigation policies in place to keep them all safe, and that's been running really, really well. We just received funding from Clarence Council for a group over the river as well, which is really exciting, and we're planning another group in the Derwent Valley. So that's what we've sort of been up to, and we're all doing that in our spare time. We were all a bit exhausted after May, and we all went a bit quiet, but we're sort of getting back into it again and trying to connect with other organisations. We're linking in with, I went and visited the Sexual Assault Support Service last week, and they were really interested in what we're doing, so we're trying to link in with them. Obviously our relationship within Gender Equality is really positive, and we had the CEO of the newly rejuvenated Tasmanian, I always forget the acronym, the Tasmanian Family Violence, Family and Sexual Violence Alliance, I think that's what they are, but the CEO, Brie Clerk, came along and ran our bar for us at the ball, so that was pretty cool. She was pretty amazing. That's pretty much it, I think. So big thank you to Council, and we really appreciate the support.
Thank you.
I'll leave these here if anybody wants to have a look at them. Anyway.
On behalf of councillors, I mean, our council, the whole 9 of us, are very, very supportive of your organisation.
Thank you. Very happy.
Yep. In fact, I think we moved. Phil, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't we move that this is on a continuous basis every year?
Yep. Yes.
So we're more than happy to do that.
Yes. That saves us one job.
So on behalf of all 9 of us, I think thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
We are all very supportive of your organisation.
Thank you.
And we hope it continues to do the great work that it has done for many, many years to come.
Thank you.
So thank you. Councillors, to you, if you
has done
wish to make comment.
Has done is doing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's pleasure.
That's thank lovely you. Feedback. Thank you. I'll leave those there if anybody wants.
Thank you. We have a question without notice from Councillor Yvonne Miller from the Central Highlands Council. Yvonne, you can either sing it out from back there or come up.
I've got to dig it up. What I concerned me on Sunday was that I live in around Moresby Street, and there's that big corner sweeping down before you get to Jetty Road. I need to wipe me out of that coming out the other way. I've noticed there's a couple of big corners going down Jetty Street and in a few shady drive that have got white lines, but this particular street hasn't got a white line. I'm just wondering if the council could look at it and see if there's a reason to put a dividing line in there.
Callum, do you wish to?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to take it on notice, or
we can take that one on notice?
Yes, it would be good because it's quite anxious.
If you'd like to send through some contact details, I'll touch base with you, and
yep.
We can take that offline.
That would be great. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Thank you. One more thing, just sorry.
Mayor, were you on questions without notice?
Do you want councillors' ones or?
Yeah.
Not as yet.
Okay, thank you.
I probably at this particular time, our acting CEO, Janine Banks, this is her last official council meeting of her more than 40 year career at Brighton Council. So just on behalf of everyone, Janine, thank you for 40 years of fantastic service, for what you've done for all of us. I think we've all got great relationships with you. We can always pick up the phone, have a conversation, and you can set us straight and tell us what we should be thinking. But it's been fantastic. You know, I've been here for, 21 and a bit years, and you've been here for every bit of that, so the place won't be the same when you finally depart this office complex in less than a month. So thank you from me, and hopefully thank you from all of the councillors, not just the ones here tonight, but the ones over the last 40 years. I know they thought the world of you. My father-in-law was one of them. He didn't have a bad, wouldn't hear a bad word said about you. So, thank you so much on behalf of councillors, past and present. And I'm 100% positive on behalf of the staff that you've worked with over the last 40 odd years. A great thank you. You're going to be missed. Hopefully you come back and hopefully you'll. I think we've invited you to the LGAT
dinner
in August. So we'll all see you there. And you'll be under no restrictions because you won't be an employee of council anymore. Is that right?
Oh no, I will be.
Oh,
yeah,
I'll have to
behave.
Yeah. But
still on the books.
Yeah, thank you.
Well,
it is greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. I'm willing to open it to the floor.
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you very much. But Janine babysitted me when I came on council, so I don't know if I'll be any better than when I started. So look, friendship, not only great friendship as well, you're not only sort of as an employee, but as a councillor and yourself as a staff member, there was a great friendship with yourself and all the other councillors at the past and present as well. So, look, I thank you very much. I'm still here, so some of that's your doing. So, yeah, so how much longer, I don't know. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pete. I'm not going to do a response.
Oh,
while we're being recorded, we have to wait till after the meeting.
I'll keep it short. Thanks, JV.
You're welcome, Phil.
I'll have to get the handkerchief out then.
Thank you. Moving on. Item 8 is councillors' question time. Item 8.1 is councillors' questions on notice, and there aren't any on our agenda. And item 8.2 is councillors' questions without notice. Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity. In light of our recent high tides, and this matter only just came up today, and the question is to be answered by next meeting, hopefully. Does council have any plans, flood mitigation plans for our areas in Bridgewater and Old Beach that are subject to rising tide and wave action? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Rowan. We'll take that.
I could probably take that one as well. Yep. So there has been some work done in the past around coastal inundation, but I think we can take that one on notice and then kind of present a comprehensive response, as well as, you know, if there are any gaps, what the possibilities might be in terms of work from here.
Well, thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Rowan. Is there any further questions? If not, we'll move on. And item 9 is reports from council, and item 9.1 is the Mayor's communications for June and July. They're listed on our agenda on page 6 and 7. Is there any questions on any of those that you'd like further explanation?
I'd just like to comment that there was another excellent citizenship ceremony on the 7th of July, and as always, it was very, very well handled by yourself and our staff. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Rowan. And just on that, I know that Councillor Rowan and Councillor Irons and Councillor Curran turn up on a regular basis. I'd really recommend that other councillors try and get along if you possibly can, because it's a fantastic honour for me to bestow citizenship on individuals, but it's lovely to see so many people in the room who want to be there. It's just brilliant. So if you can get along, please do so. The recommendation is the Mayor's communications be received. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor McMaster, and I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 9.2 is reports from council representatives. Are there any reports for tonight? No reports for tonight. Thank you. We'll move on. Item 10 is miscellaneous correspondence. Three items there. An email from Pam Harvey in regards to the Cruel Disease to Showcase, thanking council. Letter to Minister Kerry Vincent in regards to Stirless. I will add that this afternoon we did receive a response, and we'll distribute that at the earliest convenience. Just for your reference, they said it hasn't been finalised, so we're not 100% certain that it won't be upgraded, Brighton, but we will see. And the third piece of correspondence is again from Minister Kerry Vincent, the letter that we sent to him as the Greater Hobart Council's partnership. Item 11 is notification.
Just on that, Mayor, was that a letter from or to?
That was a letter to. So it was signed.
Both were letters to.
Yeah. So it was signed by the six mayors of the Greater Hobart area.
Thank you.
Item 11 is notification of council workshops. We had a council workshop on the 7th of July. Attendance and apologies are noted in our agenda. Item 12 is notices of motion. There are no notices of motion. Item 13 is consideration of supplementary items to tonight's agenda. There are no supplementary items. Item 4 is reports from committees. There were no committee meetings held in July. Item 15 is petitions. There were no petitions. Item 16 is council acting as a planning authority. There are no planning items on tonight's agenda. Item 17 is officers' reports, and item 17.1 is location of the Jerry sculpture. And I'll hand over to Ange.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'm really pleased to report this evening that yesterday we received an email from Margaret Woodward, Tony's sister, who's been doing the restoration work, and Jerry is now 100% complete in terms of the restoration work. So that was a big milestone. It's been a 12 months more sort of process. So very painstaking and very precious sculpture to us, obviously. So we have from time to time during that restoration period been contacted by State Growth to see how it was going. We did have a report to council a little while back around where the location could be. State Growth was very keen to have it. Thank you for putting the map up on the screen, Lisa. But so this area here is essentially between the old bridge and the new bridge on that side, and it will be a dedicated area for the larger bridge sculpture that State Growth have commissioned. It's quite a large structure that I'm not sure how much detail they've released about that, but it is quite an impressive structure. And since the beginning of the new bridge project, they have been looking at potentially having Jerry in this new landscaped sculpture area down here on the foreshore, and so that's really what we would like to present to council this evening, is the option of this versus any other considerations that council might have.
Thanks, Ange. Councillors, I'll open it to you for any questions of Ange in regards to this particular item and recommendation.
Councillor
Irons.
Thank you very much. Obviously the damage that's been done to a prior and vandalism and that sort of thing is obviously the main concern. That doesn't happen again. I think it said somewhere a lack of passive sort of, with all those other new things and, State Growth putting that in, is that likely to sort of improve? Because that would be the biggest, I think it's the best location. It's awesome having it down there right where Jerry is. I actually knew the bloke who named the Bridgewater Jerry, died many years ago, but the first journalist in Tassie, but he'd love this. I think the location's great, but surely, is there any ideas about what we can do to prevent that happening again?
Unfortunately, I don't think there are any guarantees in any location. There is certainly... we have talked about the Civic Centre as another location. I think there are concerns with both locations around the possibility of vandalism. I think with the Civic Centre, potentially similar to the shopping centre, where we know young people gather around that area because of the school and the park and so on. And at night there's not a lot of passive surveillance in that area other than the cameras, which potentially means it's too late. It's really, really difficult to judge what will happen with something like this. In this area down here, it's probably a little bit more out of the way in terms of that sort of gathering of younger people around the sculpture area. But, it's so hard to say.
In a word, that almost makes it sound more... So I thought this would be more prone, but that actually sounds... better on that front. Could we put it on the wall of the new police station? No, that sounds good. Thank you very much. Councillor Owen?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. My question was along the same veins. Cafe Connections, with your discussions, specifically stipulated a question of safety, passive surveillance and appropriate interpretation. And yet, the recommendation says the final chosen location does not provide sufficient passive surveillance and protection. Yet it's been recommended that it go down to the bridge. So what was the thinking behind that? You're pointing out an issue and then you're ignoring the issue and the recommendation.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I think because there is no location that we could safely say was going to provide the necessary level of passive surveillance. When we originally met with State Growth prior to the meeting with Cafe Connections, they had been talking about a different location in front of some houses down on the foreshore, on the other side of the new bridge.
Nelson Esplanade.
Yeah, that's correct. Which, yeah, and so that did have some residents along that area there. But this was the location that they have settled on for the larger sculpture. Jerry was always going to be wherever the larger sculpture was.
And my other question, Mayor, if I may, thank you, was that the orientation of the statue as per that plan is 180 degrees different to what it was before. What was the criteria originally for the direction of that statue, the structure, and why has it been changed?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I have no idea, but potentially somebody in the public gallery does.
With your indulgence, if I may, Shirley, would you like to... Have you got any explanation as to the reorientation facing south or east? Thank you, Shirley.
Just
thanks, councillors, for your indulgence. Councillor,
question for you, Mayor. Yeah, Mayor. So again, they look at putting it at the other side where the abutment is, where the original bridge was, the turn bridge was there, because that would have been probably a better spot for more passive, you know, people not to touch it on that side. But did they look at that state road? I assume they would have done. No one?
I think
not. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure that we did. I'm not sure why that was. Callum, did you have when we went to
through you, Mayor, some of the initial conversations were around the potential of establishing a bit of a sculptural trail along the foreshore. There are other sculptures that council have currently in the depot that may well be added to this trail, and this kind of fits with council's vision of having a foreshore trail that spans the entire municipality. That kind of being the close of the area, so that's where the intent came from originally, I believe.
Okay. Angela, a quick question from me, just in regards to surveillance. I mean, will the sculpture park be subjected to CCTV surveillance, or will there be cameras in that particular area that will have oversight of the sculptures down there? It's probably not going to protect them as far as if someone wishes to damage them, they are going to. But it may act as a deterrent to some.
That is not something I'm sure of, and I'm not sure whether, Callum, you could answer that one as well. Have there been any discussions?
I don't believe there are any cameras planned at this stage. That's not to say that we can't consider them. And potentially install something.
What about State Grove? Because they've got their main sculpture, don't you? The one that should put the cameras up as well.
That's what I was going to add in just in regards to that. I mean, is that state growth land?
It is the Department of Natural Resources and Environment Land, yes.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, is it possible that we could include a request to try and, or to put CCTV to protect not only our sculpture and, you know, our community sculpture, but also, you know, the other sculptures in that particular area.
Sure, we can certainly put a request.
I mean, it's only a request, and it's not a demand.
With conversations that we've been having with the bridge team, we understand that there is fairly limited budget remaining to do the install, and so it may be a stretch to their current budget, but we can certainly put it to them and make a request.
Thank you.
Quick one, Mr. Mayor, thank you. Probably for Alex, I think. The sculpture park, I assume, doesn't need planning approval. I'm just sort of don't want to be going over this again in another forum.
Through you, Mayor, I'd probably have to check that. I can just do a double check. I mean, from a single sculpture, I wouldn't have thought so. I know that we've looked at the and provided advice for the larger bridge one and this, but I think that's because it is considered open space, I think it's no permit required, but I'll confirm that.
Yep. Poor Jerry, he's got it.
I'm sure they'd be very happy to put an application in.
Yeah.
Councillors, we have a options on page 13 of our agenda and a recommendation from our staff. The recommendation is that Council agrees to State Growth's proposed location for Jerry and that Jerry is located on the Bridgewater foreshore near the Bridgewater Bridge as per the map we saw on our screen.
I'd like to move, Mr. Mayor, but also add that we ask State Growth for the and see if the cameras as well.
Thank you.
So I'll be happy to move in that regard.
Thank you. So we're just the addition that a request for CCTV cameras to protect that area or to surveil that area. So with that in mind, it's been moved by Councillor Gear. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Whelan. Is there any discussion or debate?
Yeah, Mayor, I'll be voting against the motion on the basis that there is a safer, more visible public location, closer to its original location, and opposite the police station, and I think it would be a far better option to have it in front of the civic centre rather than tucked away. We can't even keep our town square vandal. Apparently all the tiles have been broken up outside the IGA and that's quite visible, and yet if you tuck something down out of the road, it's going to be a target, so I won't be voting for that.
Thanks, Councillor Rowan. Is there anything further from any other councillor for or against? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
Against.
Thank you. The motion is carried, and Councillor Rowan against. Thank you. Moving on to item 17.2 is a policy review, Council Buildings Hire Fees Waiver Request Policy. Jillian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you all know, Council receives numerous requests each year to waive the fees of various facilities that we own. Most of these requests are made by community groups and promote health and wellbeing and increases community connection, and Council is extremely generous in approving these requests. The revised hall hire waiver fees policy, if approved, will reduce the administrative workload of having to prepare reports for presentation to Council for small value amounts. If approved, it also means that the applicant will not have to wait until the next council meeting to see if their request is approved, so it's like a faster turnaround. It's requested that the CEO have the authority to waive up to $1,000 in hire fees, and that the directors have $500 with all amounts over this value to still require formal approval. It's just put to council that the amended policy be adopted.
Thanks, Gillian. Councillors, any questions? Councillor Hines.
Thank you. I support it, obviously. It makes perfect sense and saves everyone time and all that sort of jazz. Probably my only thing is that I feel it's good for us to know when people have used it, so just in general chit-chat with people, always, oh, yep, they're using it for that. It does sort of keep you a little bit abreast of some of the stuff happening in your community as well, so maybe if there's just a way of us being told when some are approved or something like that would be great.
No problem.
I'll talk to Elisa, but I can do, we can sort of put that in that delegation listing that you receive every month, so then you're aware of it, just with a small explanation of why it's been requested, if that works.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Councillors, any further questions of Gillian? If not, we have a recommendation that council adopt the council buildings hire fees waiver request policy, policy 8.2. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Iron, seconded by Councillor Owen. And I'll put, anyone like to speak to that, for or against? I'll put that motion. While I was in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 17.3 is the Brighton District Cricket Club and the write-off of a bad debt. And over to Gillian.
Thank you. So in 2020, when Pontfield Pavilion was constructed, a joint licence was signed between the Brighton District Cricket Club and the Brighton Football Club. So unfortunately in 2023, the Brighton District Cricket Club went into recess, owing council $8,188 in Aurora charges and $4,439 in ground hire fees, which were invoiced to the club. So initially the debt was left outstanding as a debtor, so on the basis that the club may be reactivated in the future and repayment could be pursued at that time. However, the club has not recommenced operations and the council is now considering alternative arrangements for cricket at Pontfield. As there is no chance of recovery of the debt, it is requested by council to write this debt off as unrecoverable. Council does not take writing off debt lightly, however, in this instance, based on the time that has passed and the unlikelihood that the club will recommence operations, will not recommence operations, it is appropriate to write off the debt and record it as a bad debt write-off instead of overstating the debt in council's financial accounts.
There's the engineer. He's not electrical.
He'll take it. So it's requested that council approve the write-off of the outstanding debt of $12,628 from our account and authorise the amount to be recorded as a bad debt.
Councillors, over to you. Any questions of Gillian on this particular one? Councillor Owen.
Yeah, look, I'd support the recommendation under the circumstances, Mayor, but my question is, that $12,000 looks pretty ugly. And $4,500 of that is council's charges. So I'm just wondering whether that could be separated as two amounts rather than a whole debt.
Probably not, because it's going against the one debtor. Council's already paid out the Aurora fees. The only thing could be is that the ground hire fees could be reversed to the ground hire income. However, that's not really a true reflection of what's
it's a tidier way of doing it, you think?
Yeah.
I'll move with the recommendation then.
Thank you. Were there any further questions?
No, I was just going to second it.
Thank you. It's been moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Curran. Any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 17.4 is a Pontfield Sports Pavilion, and the subject is cricket. Over to you again, Gillian.
So council recently held a workshop in July to discuss two proposals that were put forward. One was from the Southern Cricket Association and one was from the Northern Magpies Cricket Club. So a bit of a recap of that is Southern Cricket Association were proposing to set up a new club using Quantville Park as the home base for this new club, and the Northern Magpies Cricket Club was an expansion of their existing club into Quantville Park to expand their youth program. Council supported the proposal put forward by the Southern Cricket Association, which the main attraction of the proposal was that it's a new club which would create a home base at Quantville, providing opportunity to build a club identity and connect with the local area, unlike Northern Magpies Cricket Club, which primary operations are predominantly based outside the municipality.
Get a woman to do it.
The proposal put forward by SCA would mean that the grounds at Quantville wouldn't be underutilised. It would rebuild a cricket park, rebuild cricket in the area, and it would also strengthen local connections with having their own cricket team. So it's proposed that council approve. It's recommended that council approve the proposal by the SCA to establish a new cricket club base at Quantville.
Thanks, Gillian. Just a really quick question, and it's sort of on topic, but a little bit left field. I think all councillors received an email from the Brighton Football Club today in regards to the cricket pitch on Thompson Oval and highlighting the fact that, according to this email, there has been one concussion head injury on that pitch over the last 12 months and a couple of other injuries in regards to that. That's been highlighted in this email to the nine of us. I'm happy to forward that email on to staff, but it certainly has, in light of the situation, the tragic circumstances in Victoria, and I know we discussed this very briefly the other night at the workshop, but it's certainly almost there is a formal request for councillors to advise the football club of their views in regards to the cricket pitch on Thompson and the maintenance or the maintaining of that on that particular oval. And secondly, a request from them that it should be moved to Gun Oval. I just think in light that we're preparing this and we have a proposal here from the SCA, which I am certainly supportive of, but in light of that, can we... I want some opinion in regards to that particular email that council has received today, noting injuries, etc. Now, I know you haven't seen that email.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, sure. Through you, Mayor. So we haven't received advice from the football club of any injuries that have occurred on the pitch today, or no formal submissions of any injuries. We have received, since the incident in Victoria, advice from AFL TAS just to be cautious not to preempt the findings of that incident. Mm-hmm. It certainly brings it to the fore, and we're not taking it lightly. We have engaged since that incident some testing to occur on the cricket pitch for impact attenuation, and we're awaiting the results of that testing at the moment, and we'll kind of use that information to respond to the club in due course.
Yeah, I'm happy to forward my email on to you. It's about a three-pager, and it certainly indicates that there's been not only one concussion but a couple of other injuries that they say are because of that covering.
Question to Mr. Mayor. I haven't seen the email, but have they got any evidence based that when it happened and the times and dates and who they notified?
I would assume that's a question that we can certainly ask
Councillor. Yeah, otherwise, it's just all hearsay.
Yeah, can you forward me that email too, Mayor?
No, we didn't get
it. No. I believe Councillor Mercer did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. No. I can certainly forward it to staff, and it was I rang the president and asked him if that had been forwarded to all councillors individually, and he indicated it had been. So maybe there's a delay, but I'm certainly happy to forward it on to all councillors and to staff.
Yeah. Thank you.
No worries. Questions on this particular item?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yes, I do have a question. I've covered the proposal from the Southern Cricket Club and the other one. I think this is a really good idea and it'll be a great use of the facility, but I didn't read anywhere any mention of them leasing it while they're using it. I assume there will be a lease.
That they would be paying for higher fees of the ground. We've had a meeting with the Brighton Football Club president as well, who was quite happy to let them have the canteen as well. Obviously, they would have to pay council towards the canteen. There would be more discussions that would be required to work out, I guess, the operations of how both clubs would work. But at the moment, we can't do anything. So the Brighton Football Club has a lease until 2027. And how this other club sort of fits in with that. They haven't actually asked for anything to do with the pavilion at this stage, just access to the canteen, which the football club was quite open to because they don't use it in the summer period.
Okay.
Just a question. They will actually, once they start, advertise more into the other municipalities like Southern Midlands, Central Highlands, because I mentioned that, and that's where the catchment is, so I assume they'll be publicising it for big members as well in that area.
The SCA?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think by the sounds of our meeting with the chair of the SCA, the members of the new team do come for our area and a couple from outside the area.
Yeah. But at least, through the Freedom Mayor, at least if you've got some other players from those other municipalities, at least you're going to have probably one and a half size which you need anyway, so it's not going to fall over with the lack of members or supporters as well. That's a good point. I agree with it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No worries. Any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation on page 19. The council approved the proposal from the SCA to establish a new cricket club home base at Pondville Park. Thank you. Moved by Councillor Gears, seconded by Councillor Curran. Is there any discussion or debate?
A good idea, Mr. Mayor. I think it looks good for the future with that particular sports. We'll have the both for winter and the summer sports. You have back to back again, which is sadly missing in the last few years.
If there's nothing further, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carry. Thank you. The next item is 17.5, and as per declaration, I'll now vacate the chair and hand over to the Deputy Mayor.
Item 17.5 is a policy review, residential use in the agricultural zone. Joe isn't here, so Alec, you're up.
Thank you, Chair. So as part of our regular policy review, the residential use in agricultural zone was due for a review and the like. Essentially, staff have reviewed the policy and made some grammatical changes and streamlined the process, but effectively it sort of remains fundamentally unchanged. The intent and the like is still there. The key outcome for this policy was to provide essentially clear guidance on how we address residential use within the agricultural zone and to ensure that we're getting compliance with the scheme and also to provide clarity on what's required to undertake these assessments.
Councillors, do you have any questions of Alex?
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. A few, Alex. there is, it's been difficult for residential uses to be approved in this zone historically, and certainly the planning scheme has probably made it harder. We have two agricultural areas with agricultural zone in the municipality, certainly on one side, tea tree, in my opinion, a lot more fertile, better class of ground. On this side, probably class 3, 4, 5, even worse maybe. And certainly on this side, lots that are sub-minimal, 5 hectares or a lot less. I think this policy has probably, I think the guideposts have sort of moved over the years, and probably we need to potentially sort of sit down in a workshop. Is that something you'd embrace, sort of?
Through you, Chair. The policy itself has probably been around quite some time, and since that time we've had some changes to the scheme. The TPS has come in, and I think it was the old rural resource zone potentially has shifted. We've obviously undertaken an internal review and not changed the intent. I guess that the ability there is to workshop it further with council if they wish to do some further discussions around it. So we're not averse to it, to having further discussions if that's the want of council.
Yeah. Some years ago, I think probably 5 or 6 years ago, there was a study done, land potentially suitable for agricultural zone. It was sort of a mapping study that was done. It was a criteria of 3 or 4 questions, of which a lot of the land on that side didn't tick the boxes. There was a lot of other development since then. A lot of that land has been subdivided further. It's going to tick less boxes. I just think maybe we should even be considering a possible zoning change, which would highlight the more fertile land on one side and the other land in Eldersley Road, which has some definite constraints. There is a large land holding up that way, which I think needs to be protected. And I think is that something that you'd consider potentially worthwhile looking into?
Through you, Chair. Yeah, particularly in the Eldersley Road site, historically, as you pointed out, there is a number of smaller lot sizes, and that's generally making, for a proper agricultural use, it does make it more difficult because of the land size. And under the scheme itself, there is, particularly if you do want to develop residential, if you can demonstrate that the land doesn't necessarily have the capability to do so, I think that, as you probably pointed out, the soil types and the land size do make it difficult in that. Is there a discussion, could there be a discussion to have for that land to possibly rezone to rural, potentially, and not all of it, like there'd be some components of it, the larger lot size, but I think that could be discussed. There's no reason it couldn't be.
I think in there is a big difference between that rural zone and the agricultural zone, and you can step from one side of the fence to the other and be on exactly the same land, on a very restrictive zoning. And I think if we could look to workshop that, I think that would be suitable.
Through you, Chair.
In a question,
the policy itself won't place us any issues if there's no policy for the interim. I think that the scheme's still there, and it still requires certain things to be undertaken if there is a residential use in an agricultural zone. The policy's more about the guidance and what we would require. We generally require those types of things anyway, so there's not a risk to council from not adopting today, if that's what you're concerned about.
Yep. Couple more. A lot of properties in that area have been hijacked by other uses, which horse racing, etc., etc., which probably, and given their size, 2, 3, 4 hectares, do you think it's hard to actually create a farm management plan on something that's potentially no bigger than a rural living block?
There are certainly restrictions, like with the size of things. Like, we've seen farm management plans that have come in for, say, beekeeping,
which is in, I guess, large lot sizes that can be done. So there's capability to do these things. I guess whether it's, I guess we've got to look at the point of is that what's the best zone for the land and what's the best use of that. And I see the intent of the policy, like the intent is to ensure that we're getting the best use for the agricultural zones. And certainly the question's got to be asked, is that zone the best purpose for those areas? Yeah, but that, it does have challenges with those small lot sizes. Certainly we do see that.
Yeah, okay. I think I had enough. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Move in line with recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Owen. Is there a seconder for that, please? Councillor Meyer. Excuse me. Sorry. Councillor Owen, would you like to speak to that?
No.
Sorry. Would anyone like to speak against that?
Sorry, speak against, was that? I would like to. I think it's probably an opportunity for, at this stage, for council to look at the zonings of those areas in a broader scale. I think, potentially, even if you own a farm, and I don't think a lot of these plots could potentially be farmed, but I think a primary part of that is living on that farm. And I think to the constraint that the agricultural zone provides just doesn't work in the class that some of those properties are. And I think it's a good chance for a council to workshop that and then potentially look at some changes to zonings if that's where that heads. Thank you.
I want to support that.
So would you like to move a motion to that effect, or perhaps
I think there is already one seconded at the moment.
Sorry, move this. We'll finish with this one first. Yep. Okay. So all those in favour of Councillor Owen's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone against?
Aye.
We have three against. So the motion has passed.
Hang on, you've got six. What are you voting for?
No, I voted against.
Oh, you're against, okay.
So the motion is
lost. Yep.
Councillor Whelan, would you like...
Hang on.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
Your vote was...
The motion has been lost.
Lost, properly.
Can I just get...
So you voted against?
Yes, I did. Sorry, I did.
We do have an active policy anyway, so that policy still remains. But if I was... You're waiting for a new motion? Yeah. That
you
council...
You don't have to.
Workshop.
Probably don't have to. You'll just bring it back. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
So in that case, the motion is lost and we will move on. Yep.
Just highlights it. We could have done that and still done what you wanted.
Yeah.
You called me a loser.
I'm just supporting the officers.
Thanks, Councillor Curran, for taking that item. Moving on, item 17.6 is the Brighton Active Transport Strategy for 26 to 36. Brian, all over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This first got exhibited last year, the draft bid, but we decided to hold off on finalising until the Brighton Local Area Plan progressed, because that had a lot of a fair bit of its scope included active transport upgrades and urban design and things like that. So we held off until now. So this is the final plan that's been updated to have regard to some of the feedback we received. So we ran the social pinpoint page with the social map where people could pin their comments on various things. And we got, I think it was around, about 50 people participated in some way, which was pretty good. And most people were, there was quite a few comments on people appreciating the river trails. That was one of the big things. So it's good that the Old Beach foreshore trail is progressing. And people just identifying gaps in the network. So we got the mapping done, redone as well by mesh, just to make it a bit cleaner. People sort of said it wasn't very user friendly. But overall, there wasn't a great deal of change from what was exhibited, apart from the Brighton Hospital Area Plan project being included. So that's the final plan there for your endorsement.
Thanks, Brian. Councillors, any questions of Brian? If not, we have a recommendation that we note the engagement strategy and that we endorse the Brighton Active Transport Strategy 2026 to 2036. Someone prepared to move. Moved by Councillor Irons and seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any discussion or debate?
No, I think it's exciting personally for the municipality. Well done, and I think the feedback is probably as expected. I would have thought everyone there, particularly with the gaps and things like that that we've identified. And I do, yeah, I think the more we can get people active and get them from point A to point B, and as we see petrol do what it's doing, I think there's a lot of extra benefits we don't consider. I think it's really exciting for the municipality, and I think. Yeah, with that, so I know we don't get great responses a lot of the time. You know, that's 50 people. I mean, wherever you go, Brighton, you always see people walking their dogs, running their bikes and stuff. So to make more plans for that will only make our residents happier and healthier. So I think it's exciting.
Just for you, Mayor, on that, the funny thing about one of our lean projects is the people in Brighton town are the most vocal about shared paths and more shops and sombreros and all those kind of things. So, yeah, very, you can sort of tell more young families and all people in Brighton itself. So.
One thing, Mr. Mayor, that has come out of this is that actually going to put the spotlight on the state federal governments to come along and help out with one of these other aspects we want to do as well. So. It's really a good document for that as well. So, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Is there anything further? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 17.7 is the Brighton Hub Structure Plan, Opportunities, Constraints, Desktop Analysis and Preferred Structure Plan. And I'll hand over again to Brian, who was on from our workshop a couple of weeks ago.
Lengthy workshop, Mr. Mayor.
I was happy for it to go longer, but you want to cut it off, Brian. Or was it Alex and Alex that cut it off?
Basically the workshop last week where Nicola did a really good job as I've taken us through these documents. Basically just seek the endorsement from council to go out for consultation on that work. And that's made up of the primary document is that desktop analysis of option constraints. And then there is a preferred structure plan in there as well, which is that map. And there's a couple of other inputs there, the supply and demand report. So the hub structure plan is a project that's partially funded by State Growth, which came out of a statewide industrial study that said we should do a structure plan for the hub, particularly so we don't sterilise the land around the transport hub with smaller lots. At the moment, there's no controls requiring large lots that need, for users that need access to the rail. So we're trying to address that and also looking at whether or not there's enough supply there currently to meet demand up to 2046, looking at infrastructure capabilities and also some emerging industries and circular economy. So those documents there. I suppose we sort of all know about it because of the workshop, but I mean, there is a fair bit there, but anyway, that's there, the stage four deliverables that we're still putting in management on. We'll endorse it for a day.
Thanks, Brian. Councillors, open it to the floor if there's any questions for Brian on this particular item. I think, Brian, you're correct in what you indicated, that it was a lengthy display presentation from the consultant, but I think she covered off on the majority of issues and concerns that we had, also covered off on a lot of items which are a future concern. But the beautiful thing, this is in line with the statewide industrial land strategy.
Mm.
Yep, perfect. It's just I wanted to make that note that unlike other rezoning applications, that ours does meet that particular criteria. Just wanted to check, that was all. We got some nice quotes on social media sort of indicating that we're a little bit selfish. I just wanted to make sure that the point was that ours matches the state industrial strategy, land strategy, as opposed to other applications.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, as a specific recommendation that we do this work in that strategy, statewide strategy. So.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Councillor.
You can start with you if you like.
There's nothing further. We have a recommendation that Council endorses the Brighton Hub Structure Plan, Stage 4 deliverables for stakeholder engagement for a period of approximately 4 weeks. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 17.8 is the Local Government Association of Tasmania, 2026 General Management Committee by-election. This was brought about by the resignation of Mayor Paula Reid. There are two nominees for this particular position. I'm in your hands. In your hands, if you wish to have a vote on this. Yep, no worries. We'll just distribute some papers and do a quick tally and come up with a result.
You've got the thing, come with it.
Two marks.
Nice.
In a wheelchair.
Just a number one will do. Don't need for a two. We'll just do a quick tally of those votes.
So, Heather Chong unanimously.
Thank you. So the recommendation is the ballot paper, the position of LGAT General Management Committee member, be completed, naming Councillor Heather Chong as our nominee, and signed and returned to the Tasmanian Electoral Commission by the 11th of August. Is there a mover for that? Moved by Councillor Iron, seconded by Councillor McMaster. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 17.9 is delegations under the Local Government Regulations 2025. And we'll hand over to the Acting Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, this one I didn't pick up last year when the Local Government General Regulations was changed from 2015 to 2025. So it is just basically a change in the... in the Act, the regs, to reflect 2025. So everything else is identical in relation to public tenders, and we have a policy, AP08, in relation to tenders.
Thanks, Janine.
Just a quick question,
yep,
in
Councilor
relation
Rowan.
To the use of the term general manager as opposed to CEO. It's no effect?
No.
Thank you. Councillors, any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation on page 36 of our agenda.
Happy to move it.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Geard. Is there a seconder for that? Councillor McMaster. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 18 is the closed meeting. Regulation 17, the Local Government Meeting Procedures. Regulations 2025 provides that Council may consider certain sensitive matters in a closed meeting. Now, the recommendation is that in accordance with Regulation 17 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures 2025, Council move into closed session and the meeting to be considered, meeting to be closed to members of the public to deal with the following item. And that is item 18.1, the CEO Performance Review 2526. And I have a mover for that. Moved by Councillor Iron, seconded by Councillor Curran. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. Thank you.
Almost done.
We're just stopping the recording.